time flies. Talking about flying time, my wife was telling me a story yesterday. There was a policeman waiting on the city, and this guy came through a little faster than he should have. The policeman stopped him, and the policeman, just out of a little frustration, said, "I have been waiting for you all morning." And the guy looks at him, says, "I'm sorry, officer. I tried to get here as soon as I could, as fast as I could." Okay, I need you to be awake today, because I'm going to share some things that may sound that difficult, and I want you to get it. By the way, the officer just crumbled, laughed, and said, "Just go on, don't be that fast." Now, we honor the Bible here in this church. We want to do everything according to it. The Bible is a very unusual book. This book is not only unique, it also have very unique claims within it. In hundreds of passages, the Bible declares that it is nothing less than the Word of God. There it is. In at least 3,800 times, the Bible declares either "God says," or "thus says the Lord." 3,800 times God is speaking. The Apostle Paul recognized that the things he was writing were the Lord's commandment, and they were acknowledged as such even by the believers. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul declares in chapter 2, verse 13, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So this was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Peter proclaimed that the scriptures were sure. They were a surety of scripture and our necessity to obey in the word of God. Even the Apostle John, the beloved of the Lord, he declared that his teaching, when he wrote in 1 John, that his teaching was from God, and to reject those teachings were to reject God himself. So, this Bible is a very, very unusual and special book. It is written by a wide diversity of authors, as many as 40 of them, over a period of 1,500 years, from many different locations and under a wide variety of conditions. And though there are 16 books contained within it, the Bible is uniquely one full book. These authors that wrote the Bible come from all walks of life. Some were kings, some peasants, some were philosophers, fishermen, physicians, statesmen, scholars, poets, and even there were farmers. For instance, Moses was a political leader. Joshua was a military leader. David was a shepherd. Solomon was a king. Amos was a herdsman and a fruit inspector. Daniel was a prime minister. Matthew, he was a tax collector. Luke was a medical doctor. Paul, he was a rabbi. Peter, last but not least, it was a fisherman. Regardless of this diversity, as one book, it is bound together to present and honor the most perfect person who ever walked the earth, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus told the crowd, he says, Moses wrote of me. You know, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Jesus is not specifically written about there, but it all points to him. So Jesus says, all that Moses wrote points to me and what I'm about to do. So many of these writers didn't know one another. I mean, over 1,500 years from one to the end. Many of them were unfamiliar that the other person, those contemporaries, were writing something. They just heard the Lord say, write, and they did. There are no contradictions or inconsistencies within its pages. I know that many people have tried to find error. And trust me, if there's any book in the whole library of the world that has received more scrutiny, it is the Word of God. It is the Bible. And yet, every time they find a consistency and say, more research is done, and they found out, no, it's not really a contradiction. It's just, this was interpreted that way, but it should have been interpreted this way. And linguistics and discoveries and all of that keep proving over and over and over the accuracy of the Word. Satan wants to defile and make it unpopular, discredit it. And he has tried for 2,000 years. And even the most brilliant minds have never been able to disprove it. In unity, these books teach the triunity of God, the deity of Jesus Christ, the personality of the Holy Spirit. It teaches the fall and depravity of man, as well as the salvation by grace that Jesus has provided. And so it quickly becomes apparent that no human being could have the capacity to write a book like the Bible. So God, as the author of the Bible, becomes the only answer. You know, one thing, as a Catholic boy, I received that has never left, and I thank God that I was taught that. The Bible is the Word of God. Now, some of the great themes of the Bible are as follows. The Bible speaks about who God is. It reveals to us, it encourages us to have a personal relationship with Him. His laws for us are meant to enhance our ability to love God and love people. The Bible also presents both the absolute holiness of God and His love, mercy, and grace that reaches out to sinful man who has been separated from God. Only the Bible describes man's condition in sin as it really is. And the impossibility for man to deal with this sin and sinfulness apart from God's solution in the personal death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we are soon to celebrate. So the Bible talks about who God is and tells us how we are, our condition. Every other religion has man seeking to obtain God's favor by some form of human works, some kind of religious activity. I gotta do something for God to earn my salvation. The Bible is the only place that presents a solution for man's sin that is truly life-changing. When you embrace it, when you believe it. It's not you doing something for God. It's receiving what God has already done for you. The ethics and morals of the Bible cover all areas of human conduct. The home, the husband and wife relationship, parent-child relationship, our conduct in society, relationship between employers and employees, neighbors, enemies, friends, government, citizens, as well as business, economics, and social spheres. Any area that we're involved in the world, the Bible addresses it. What are the areas in your life are you struggling with personally? Marriage? Children? Finances? Relationship? Self-esteem? Self-control? Addictions? Are you worried about the future? All of that is addressed. When we were born again, at the beginning of our walk with the Lord, we struggled a lot with physical health. We were constantly being attacked in our bodies with sickness and disease. And so, because we knew that the Bible had the answers, we look up all the scriptures that had to do with sickness, disease, and healing. And we start memorizing them, studying them, confessing them, declaring them. All those healing scriptures were related to our belief in the existence of God and our relationship with Him. We were not looking for a formula for us to chant. We wanted to find out what He had promised so that we can receive those promises. We, His children, had been given things that we were not benefiting from. And once we found them in the Word, we could appropriate them by faith, and it came through every time. That's why I'm standing here speaking to you today, because we found out He is a healing God. Another amazing illustration of the divine origin and uniqueness of the Bible is the many prophecies that are contained in it. And the many prophecies that have been fulfilled just as they were written that they would. Hundreds of prophecies were made by Old Testament writers concerning the Messiah, the future kingdom on earth, the restoration of Israel as a nation, and the return to the promised land. And many of those have been fulfilled as promised, even today. 1948. The nation that was scattered all over the earth, sometime in the first century, all of a sudden, once again, became a nation. In the New Testament, many predictions are made of events to come. The perfect precision of prophecy, extending to such details of the place of Christ's birth, the character of His execution, even the very words He spoke while nailed on the cross testify to the absolute accuracy of the Word of God. And if those prophecies were fulfilled very accurately, all those promises of future events, they are going to be fulfilled as well. It actually, in Scripture, prophecy is just as accurate as history, because God fulfills what He promises. And then finally, the Bible knows no limits to the infinite knowledge of God who guided the writers of the Bible. The comprehension of divine revelation is beyond the capacity of even the most brilliant men if they are not aided by the Spirit of God. It reveals the details of God's plans and purposes, the heights of heaven, the depth of hell, and even the deep secrets of the human heart. In the Bible, we can look at events in eternity past, And we can as well look at events in eternity future. I was excited to hear Elijah's message that he gave last Sunday. In it, he said he spent a whole summer closed up in his room reading the Bible for the first time, because he thought all Christians had done that and he was left behind. And so he put honor and respect to the word, and he wanted to know it. And because of it, he's now teaching it to others. And he's enjoying abundant life because he has found out that the Creator gave him a manual to be led and guided by. What an awesome thing. And where is he today? He's a victorious Christian, walking, teaching, exemplifying Jesus. Now, the Bible is God's special revelation. First of all, the Bible tells us that God has revealed himself through his creation. In fact, Psalm 19 starts saying in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." In other words, this declaration goes on continuously. Follows up saying, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." In other words, nature speaks to all of all nations. There's no language barrier to look at nature. It doesn't speak Spanish or English. It just speaks human. "Their line has gone out throughout the earth and their words to the end of the world." In other words, nature speaks to the whole world. Nature declares an ordered universe from the big, wide picture of the vastness of the universe to the microscopic function of a cell and even the atom. You know, some people still are bent on the fact that we evolved as a universe. You know, we are 93 million miles away from the sun, the earth is. Just a little closer and we would burn up. And just a little farther than that 93 million miles, we would freeze to death. And so people are still bent on the fact that we evolve into that. I believe that the God of the universe designed it for our pleasure, for our comfort, for our well-being. But creation cannot tell us everything about who God is and what he does. His love, his grace, his holiness, and his dealing with mankind, nature doesn't quite get the full picture. Then God tells us that he reveals himself through our conscience. God has placed certain knowledge in us all so that we all know that God values good and detests evil. We also know that ultimately we are going to be accountable to God one day. In Romans chapter 2, verse 14, Paul was saying to the Romans, "For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves they thoughts accusing or else excusing them." What does that mean? The law was given to the Jews, but God was going to judge the whole world. So God put a conscience in every human being, and with it, man is able to hear what God approves and what he doesn't. The problem is, we tend to ignore our conscience and do what we want. So, our conscience is our own persecutor but our conscience can also be the voice of God in our souls. But again, because of man's sinful condition, even the conscience does not adequately complete to us the full knowledge of who God is. So, for God to give us a clear picture of himself, God becomes man, and he walks among us. Then, and yet, man's condition was so polluted that man rejected even the God made flesh, Jesus Christ. They crucified him, they nailed him, they killed him. God raised him from the dead. So God had to come up with this special revelation, the Word of God, the Bible. And as the Word of God, in written form, he gives us much more about God than can be known from nature, creation, or even through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, everything we know about Jesus, we find from Scripture, because we were not there. Those guys experienced it. They didn't have the Word. We have both today. We have the record of Jesus, and we have the full counsel of what has transpired. So why do we need this special revelation? Because man's blind and sinful condition caused by the fall of Adam and Eve, and also the blindness that is made even worse by the blinding activities of Satan upon all of us. So God gave us his special revelation, the Bible, so that he could reveal himself and his plan of salvation, so that we can be restored back to God. I want you to know, as I said before, every person alive was born separated from God by inheritance. Blame Adam and Eve. They're the guilty ones. And so we're separated from God at birth. This is what was inherited to us. And this is why we need to be born again, a term that you probably heard very often. You need to be born again in order to become the child of God. And this special revelation, the Bible, centers on the person of Jesus Christ as the only one who can reveal both God and his plan of salvation for you and for me and for all of mankind. See, Jesus is the heart and testimony of Scripture. As is obvious from the many religions in the world, we as men misinterpret what creation and conscience teach us. Therefore, we need this special revelation that is so supernatural that it transforms lives. Now, here in this house, we have been teaching about the Holy Spirit and how he uses the Word to teach us to be like Jesus. That is his goal, for us to become little Jesus here on this earth. But how will the Holy Spirit use the Word in you when you do not have it in you already? Because you haven't read it. You know, I was thinking this morning, most of us spent 40 years a week working, 40 hours a week in a regular work to earn a living so that we can have things and function properly. We stop at Starbucks and it's not a big thing to spend $7 or $8 in a little cup of coffee. That's 20 minutes worth of work right there for the average people. If you earn $20, I hope you earn more than that. But it doesn't show in the offering. But anyway, just kidding. But see, we spend 20 minutes working for $7 or $8. And some of us have not even touched the Bible, though we claim to be Christians. We don't know much of anything about it. That shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. I conclude by saying that God has revealed himself in many ways, and he's still using special ways with us. He still uses dreams, visions, angels, two prophets of God, and a few other ways. But how will you know if that was God or just a figment of our imagination? Even people that speak the word of the Lord to you, you say, well, that sounds good, but oh well. And we just dismiss it. Our ultimate source of revelation that we can rely on is still the Bible. It is rightly said, prayer is when you talk to God. Reading the Bible is when God talks to you. Many of you talk to God, God, I need this, God, I need that. Gimme, 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 gimme. My name is Jimmy and I'll take all you gimme. But we don't want to listen to God. We don't want to spend time reading his word so that he can speak to us. In its word is where we get to read about Jesus, his love for us, and the price that he paid for us to be reconciled back to the Father. We sing about him becoming a sacrifice to purchase a bride. And we don't know what all of that means because we're ignorant of what the word has. Listen, you cannot afford to rely on your own understanding of things, especially spiritual. You cannot afford to rely on what the tradition of men tell you is the right way. You cannot even rely on what I am telling you unless you verify its accuracy in the Bible itself. Your eternity is for sure. You are going to live forever. But the place to spend eternity has to be chosen while you are alive. Nobody can choose it for you. It has to be your choice. And there are only two options for eternity, either hell or heaven. Do nothing about your belief in God and his principles, and you will be choosing hell. Some of us think, well, just play along. It'll all work out. Shish kebab. But if you believe what the Bible tells you that you need, be born again through Jesus Christ, and you will choose heaven. You see, we have no excuse to be ignorant of Scripture. You can read the Bible on your own. In fact, there are Bible apps nowadays that read it back to you if you have problem reading. How many of you have a Bible app in your phones? And yet, good. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. If you have problem reading Scripture and understanding what it says, that's why we're here. That's why we're your pastors. You have teachers. You have elders. You have people here that care for you and want you to enjoy every aspect of what God has made free in your behalf. But you have to ask. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, I'll finish with this. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. There's no buts there. It doesn't say it may be given. No, it says it will. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. I pray that you plan while you're living here, that you plan for your destination, when you leave this world. The thing about it is, we don't know when we're leaving this world. I mean, you can go out there and some crazy driver may lose control and hit your car and you're gone into eternity. And this is why God said, choose you this day whom you will serve. This is too important for us to rely on Google to give us the answer or to just think, well, I was taught well and my life has been good, so I don't think I'll change anything. Listen, if you have not made Jesus Lord of your life and you found out by his special revelation, the Bible, you need to. You know, the coffee that you drink for $7 that you spend 20 minutes earning, you can spend 20 minutes and make a difference in your destination of eternity. I want you to do that. So, Father, I thank you for giving us a manual, this special revelation that you orchestrated for our good so that we can benefit, so that we can learn from you, so that we can get to know you, so that we can know the things that you are so freely given to us, so that we can know that you are a reliable God that always delivers what you promise us. Lord, I thank you for every person that is here that has invested at least an hour to come here on Sundays to learn more from you. And I pray, Father, that if anything was received today, it is the special importance of your word in our lives. And I pray that we fall in love with your word, that we would read it more often, and that we would apply those things that you said we need to, that we may have life and have it more abundantly while we're here, and that we, after we're done here, we can enjoy eternity with you as the bride of Christ forever. I thank you, Lord, for caring so much for us to give us a text message. I pray that we all read it and we act on it. I bless your people and I thank you in Jesus' name. Now let's stand and worship God.